Welcome, everyone, to the Product Lunch Formula call. We're going to go ahead and get started. So we're going to shake things up a little bit. What I'm going to do is take live questions first, and then we'll go to the questions that were sent in. So if you dialed in via the phone, you can go ahead and press star 1 to raise your hand. I see we've already got some people with raised hands with questions. For people that are listening in through the webcast, if you wanted to ask a question, a live question, we do have some lines available, so you can call in over the phone. Look at the email. The link I sent you has all that information. And then call in and press star 1. So we're going to go ahead and go to our first question here.
Hello.
Hey, Billy. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Jeff. How are you?
Good.
Good. My question is this, and you know, I've told you over the last couple of weeks that I have a seminar series that I've been conducting over the last few weeks, and most of my what I've been doing is pre-recording my interviews. Excuse me. Pre-recording my interviews and then playing them at a later date. The attendance. And what I'm finding out is teleseminars are kind of tough because the attendance to the actual call has been minimal at best.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, since I have a list of about just under 300 people, and I'm thinking about doing a survey to that list to see what their biggest question is, if you will, when it comes to like list building, for instance,
right,
if they have that, and see if I can get some interest or what. See if I can get some feedback as to what their biggest question is, and then maybe looking at someone who's very strong in whatever area that I survey them in, and doing like you suggested, maybe two kind of teleseminars with that person. Is that feasible, you think?
Could you say that last part again?
What I'm thinking about doing is doing a survey with the list to see what the areas of interest are in terms of, for example, list building. What's the biggest question with list building? And then maybe finding someone who's strong in that area and setting up a teleseminar with that person like you had suggested before.
Yep.
Maybe
yep.
Do a two. You think that's feasible?
Yeah, I do. Now, let's go back to totally feasible. And certainly I'll tell you, list building will be one of the things that they want to know about. Now, let's go back to not having people show up in the teleseminar and make sure you're doing everything you need to do there. So you have 300 people on your list, but those people have joined your list not specifically for the teleseminar. Is that correct?
No, that's specifically for the teleseminar,
okay.
And the attendance is for all intents and purposes, is pretty dismal. And
okay.
I've been sending out – go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you right off the bat that even people that are doing everything right, they'll typically get about a 35% turnout.
Okay.
for a teleseminar. So, you should be looking, if you've got 300 people signed up and they've signed up recently for this specific teleseminar, you know, your goal is to get 100 of them on there.
Right.
And then, you know, and you have to be sending, you know, you definitely have to send the reminder, you know, 30 to 60 minutes ahead of time. You have to send the reminder 24 hours ahead of time, you know, probably 48 hours ahead of time, and maybe like
right.
4 days ahead. So you're doing a bunch of reminders, and you're selling them. You're reselling them each time. I mean, you don't have to give a big, long sales pitch, but you have to be doing all that because people, they get busy and they forget.
Okay.
So make sure you're doing all that, and make sure you're continuing to resell it each step of the way. Certainly, you know, if you find out what their top questions are and you come back and say, this is what we're going to be covering, and it happens to be the top questions, that's really going to help you out there.
Okay. Okay. And I think probably when it comes to sending out the constant emails, that's probably an area where I've been sending them out, but I haven't been sending out an email every day, just reminding them. And I send them out an email. I make sure that I send one out the day of, and I sent one yesterday as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I probably could do more when it comes to just sending out more emails to my list and reminding them because, you know, last week I didn't have a very good attendance, and you know, it costs, you know, when you're spending money to get the recordings replayed, you know, you're like, okay, you start making some evaluations. Okay, should I continue
right.
doing this or should I not, you know?
Yep. Well, yeah. I mean, you definitely, you have to email them. The other thing is like, as you get into the summer, you know, you don't want to do it on a Friday or probably a Monday.
Right.
So, you know, it's funny because, like, one of the original calls for Product Launch Formula that was in the very first version, I think it was probably the one actually with John Reese, I can't remember for sure, but it was one of the calls, and it was actually done as a live call for some students that was in my initial coaching program, and it was, like, Friday afternoon, like, in July. And the call was, you know, it was, you know, probably shouldn't have scheduled it for then, but it was Friday afternoon. And this is a call that, you know, went down in history. I think it's one of the best calls ever, you know, that became part of the Product Launch Formula course. It's actually, you know, I released it as part of Product Launch Formula 2. It was so good. And we didn't have a single person show up on that teleseminar. I'm talking not a single one. Like, I opened up the lines, you know, any questions? Anyone out there? And later I got the stats, and there wasn't a single person. So, you know, and like I said, you know, that call went down in history as one of the greatest calls ever. And you know, I've, you know, thousands of people have listened to it now. So it isn't necessary, you know, don't be too discouraged not to get them to showing up. Because if you have that recording, you can use that in other ways and monetize it in other ways going forward.
But that's what I'm looking forward to, is once I have all the recordings and the series is officially done after the 12th week, then what I really want to do is take that, and then I'll have a product, as far as I'm concerned,
right,
that I'll be able to use and monetize. So I guess that'll be my first product that I'm able to launch, I guess.
Yep, absolutely.
So, okay, great. Appreciate it.
Sure, you're welcome.
Thanks.
Okay, next question. Hello?
Oh, hi, Jeff. How are you? This is Miko.
Good. How are you, Nico?
I'm fine. I don't know if you remember me from Underground in D.C.
I absolutely remember you. I didn't until you mentioned that, but yep.
Yeah, I first want to say just thank you. I meant to show you my new site. I started marketing myself instead of something generic, and I've gotten really good results. Remember we had that conversation?
Yes, I do remember that.
Yeah, you should. I'll send you something. Hopefully you'll get the email and take a look at it and tell me what you think. So thank you very much for that. I've done quite a bit of self-branding since we spoke. Obviously, I bought your product now, and I'm trying to figure out some stuff. So I'm going to ask you, I went through all the recordings and stuff. I'm admittedly a little behind on the modules, but I have some specific questions for you. The first one I had is, you're a Mac person like me. I'm about to start. I'm doing webinars through a much bigger company, and when we do webinars and I do them, I get an 80% show up. I mean, people are interactive. And so one of the things that I started thinking is, obviously, and I heard this question on an older call, is I heard people say, you know, I don't have a product. So I'll get to that in a second. But on your Mac, can you give me some recommendations on, like, software and stuff or hardware I can buy to get good quality recordings and host webinars from my home?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot. Boy, there's a lot to do or a lot to talk about here. It's a big question. So first of all, you know, I used a variety of different stuff.
Okay.
So for webinars, and I haven't done all that many webinars. I've done a lot more teleseminars than webinars.
Okay.
And unlike Billy, you know, Billy's recording them ahead of time and playing them back. I've never actually done that. All the stuff I've done is live, so I've never actually looked into doing the recorded stuff. Now, for webinars, you know, if you're going to do a webinar, you need a service, of course, and, you know, that's like just a go-to webinar.
Okay.
And, you know, that's just, you know, $99 a month, and you can have up to 1,000 people on it. We're using for this one, we use this Instant Teleseminar.
Uh-huh.
Is another one you can use. There's Omnovia is a real high-end one, very, very expensive. I haven't used it. I know people that have. So those are all, like, the services to get your stuff out there. Then basically what you're doing, for most of them, you're creating a PowerPoint or you know, a PowerPoint, or if you're a Mac person, you're using a Keynote, and you're playing that thing. And then in terms of audio, you know, it's just a simple it's a telephone. And you want to use a corded telephone. You don't want to use a cordless telephone. You don't want to use a cellular phone. I mean, you know, I've done that in emergencies, like where I had to, but, you know, you want to go get a phone that has a cord and is connected to the base set. And then, like, in terms of recording, often the recording quality, you know, usually these the webinar services will record it automatically for you.
Okay.
And they'll record the audio and they'll record the video. Now, what you can also do is you can do, like, you can use a screen capture software. So that would be Camtasia for Windows, or it would be ScreenFlow or iShowU for the Mac. And so you can record record the webinar as a backup. Another thing that I've done, especially if this works if you're not doing interactive stuff.
Okay.
If it's just going to be you lecturing, then what you can do is you can be talking on the phone, but you can also have a nice mic set up in front of you. Like right now, I have two primary mics. One is an Audio Technica. It's an AT2020 USB. That's an Audio Technica AT as an Apple, Tom, 2020 USB. And that one just plugs into a USB port.
Okay.
So basically what you'd be doing, if you hear things shuffling, I'm digging out my other mic to try to figure out what the model number is on that. But, you know, basically you'd be talking into a phone, and the phone people would be hearing you over the phone. But if you have the mic right in front of you, that will also pick you up, and then you'll get a higher quality audio recording that way. Now, that doesn't work if you're being interactive. If you're being interactive, then you know, your mic will be picking your voice up, but it's not going to be picking up the person on the other end of the line. So if you're going to be interactive, you can't do that. That's just a way to get higher quality audio recordings.
Okay.
The other mic here, let me tell you, is another Audio Technica, and it's an AT3035. That's Apple Tom 3035. That's like a fancier one that you have to run into a soundboard and then into your computer.
Okay.
The soundboard I'm using is an Edirol. Edirol. So that's just some of the hardware. But to tell you the truth, it's all really simple. Don't let any of that intimidate. I know you don't get intimidated easily, but some other people might. And, you know, none of this stuff, it's just, the reality is when you get on the line and you know what you're talking about, it just doesn't really matter. People are there to hear what you're talking about.
Okay.
And, you know, the webinar is nice. It keeps people's attention a little more than the teleseminar. So it's nice for that. It's not complicated. It's all about the content, really. That's what's going to pull people in.
So you think that webinar was going to be my second question, and I had one more small one. So you think that, because I was going to test out, I've done webinars, I said, and, you know, my turnout is 80 to 90%. People are very engaged because I'm an authority in my field. I mean, you know this, we spoke. But I'm thinking to do a teleseminar where I kind of allow people to interact, but you're saying now that you think webinars hold more attention than teleseminars?
I think slightly. Yeah, I do. I mean, frankly, I've done, you know, 10 teleseminars for every webinar.
Okay.
But I think webinars are probably a little cooler.
Okay.
Now, one thing that you have to be careful on is when you're being interactive, you have to have a system like I've got right now where you can unmute individual lines.
Okay.
Because if you can't, you can't just open it up and take questions, even if you've only got 20 or 30 people on a line, because all it takes is one of those people on the line to, like, put you on hold.
Yeah.
And then you go to unmute the line, and we're all hearing the hold music. And the person that put you on hold, they can't hear. So you're sitting there pulling your hair out, you know, yelling at them. They can't hear you. And I've had high-end coaching calls destroyed by that type of thing. So you need a service that will mute or unmute individually. And so, like, the service I'm using right now is AccuConference, and it's pretty expensive. I can't remember if I paid $200 or $300 for it per month.
Oh, wow. Okay, so subscription?
Yeah, it's a subscription, and you got to do a subscription with them. And, and you know, a lot of bridge lines you can get for a third of that with a lot more capacity than this one has.
Okay.
But this one, basically, there's a web interface that I'm looking at, and I can see who's called in. I can see what number they're calling in. I can mute them or unmute them individually. If you have everyone unmuted, then and someone's got you does put you on hold, I can actually see who's making the noise, and I can mute that person individually. So It's very there are some other services out there. I've been with AccuConference for about 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And I've been paying them, you know, whatever, $4,000 a year. One of these days, I hope someone comes along that's a little less expensive.
But do you year round because you do multiple sectors?
Yeah, I'm always doing something or other. So
okay.
Yeah, I just keep it all.
And your controls are all web based? Is that what you're saying?
Yep. It's 100% web based.
Uh-oh.
It automatically records everything. It has the best audio recording of any Telesummer service I've used. It's not to say I've used them all, but I've used other ones that haven't worked as well.
Okay. And then my one last question here, I know other people have questions, sorry for being selfish, is I heard on another video, and I guess I want some recommendations from you. I mean, again, you kind of know what I do. I don't want to really blast it out on the phone. But what I'm looking to do now is I've had some approaches for people to try to monetize my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very valuable. You know, I'm very niche. And one of the things I'm trying to find out is where's a good source when you want to figure out, okay, how do I go from, you know, the knowledge in my head, I have webinars and little ebooks and stuff, to creating like a full-blown project. And then, you know, obviously my idea is I'm going to wrap PLF around it.
Right.
You know, is there someone who actually can say, okay, you know, maybe you go from consulting or company, I mean, you know what I do, down to your product, creating a product, and then putting the PLF on it to get this thing through the door?
No, I don't really have a good answer for that.
Okay.
In terms of, it's really, you're looking for someone that can basically help you with the full end-to-end product creation and then the launch, and I really don't. I wish I did. I mean, that's really one of the, I don't know if you've noticed, but, you know, I know a lot of people have noticed, we're getting ready to do this product launch manager training.
Okay.
And train people to help with that, and certainly the people that we train will be able to help with a lot of that, like talking through, you know, what sequence to put the products out in.
Yes.
You know, because that's, you know, what I think, but, you know, personally, I think what you need to do is you need to do the equivalent of the seed launch.
Okay.
Now, I teach that seed launch, and a lot of people I'm teaching it to are more people that are just starting out, and it's a way to get it going. But I think you should do it as a high-end coaching program and put, you know, 30 to 60 people in that thing, and then just start teaching and soliciting questions. And, I mean, I think you can charge probably a pretty penny for that. You put those people in there, and then, you know, the calls, the webinars you do with them, very interactive. You're surveying them every step of the way. You're teaching them, but you're recording that whole thing, and it's basically you're going to be learning how to put that into a product.
Okay. So you keep everything that you do there. Because right now, I mean, you know, I'll do, you know, rooms of 300 people, I mean, 10 people, 300 an hour each. I mean,
mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's pretty lucrative. I mean, you know, I explained to you kind of what I do. And
yep.
So, but now, you know, a room is only so big. Now I figure if I open a little bit more on the internet, obviously testing small, I can probably expand that group. Now, the last question, small thing is, and I just wonder if you think I'm crazy. I just got a book offer with a very decent advance from a publisher. Again, my knowledge is in demand. And I'm actually turning it down because I feel that I have more potential to create my own product online.
Right.
And like you're saying, monetize it. Do you think I'm nuts?
Well, this is the books. I mean,
yeah, Barnes and Nobles. Yeah. I mean, the publisher
right.
came. I said
yep.
no.
So this is the rule of thumb: is that you do books for the positioning.
Okay.
And so that you're a published author, you know, for the prestige, and I don't mean like, you know, for the ego, but just because there's a certain status. So you do a book for the status, for the positioning. You do an information product to make the money. You don't make money off of books.
I mean, right.
Unless you, you know, wrote Harry Potter, and that, you just don't make money off of books.
Right.
So, I mean, if I were you, and books are a lot of effort, and so.
Yes. That's why I said no,
yeah.
Because I you know, in the short run, and the thing is, I'm already an authority in my field. I don't have a book on the shelf, but if you say my name, my field, you know, you can go on the web. People know who I am. That's why I have 80% attendance.
You at this point, I would do the information product and make the money and sort of skim the cream off the top, and you can that book offer, whether it's from that publisher or another one, will always be there.
Okay.
And you can always go. You can always do a book later on, but for you, I don't think it's a good place to start.
Yeah, okay, that's a good decision then. Okay, that's what I thought as well. Okay, well, those are my my different questions, and I guess
okay.
I'll email in the rest. Thank you so much, Jeff. Appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome, Miko.
Okay, sir.
Okay, next question. Hello, how are you doing?
This is Gail from Australia. How are you?
Good, good. So it's, what, 6 in the morning or something there?
Yeah, it's a nice, decent time.
And that's actually why I schedule the calls at the time they're at, is it's the only time that could possibly work for Australia and the UK.
Yeah.
So it's mid-afternoon where I'm at, and it's, you know, late at night in the UK, and it's early in the morning in Australia. And that's people that, a lot of people in the U.S. say, well, why can't it be in the evening? And it'll be, well, it'll be 3 in the morning in the UK, and they won't be too happy. So that's why we have it now.
Well, I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I don't know if you've got my questions already and you're going to answer them on the call or not, but I guess my main thing that I've been having, you know, the hardest thing that I've got going on in my own niche is that I'm a feng shui master that studied feng shui in Hong Kong, and I started studying almost 20 years ago. And the information that I've got is very, very different to what most Western worlds understand feng shui to be. And so it's not the quick grab, here's your wealth area, because in reality we can locate a number of wealth areas in a building by working out a horoscope for the building. And so it's a harder product to try and sell to people because they have to... you know, they just have to know more. I've got to teach them more along the way. And I was going to release some prosperity formulas in which I actually pre-work out all the horoscopes that they will ever need, and I literally sell those products and support the product. But I just wondered, you know, like, I keep trying to think of a simple thing to do, but that's just what I do, and that's how feng shui is. So I just wondered if you had any tips for me positioning myself with that, because most people want takeaway feng shui,
mm-hmm.
and I'm kind of selling deeper stuff, I guess.
Right, right. So, okay, what you really need to do, you need to sell people what they want. And I know it's not what you want to hear, but listen, give me a moment here, because there's a lot of folks like you that have maybe spent their lifetime, and it could be feng shui, or it could be gardening, or it could be tuning computers, or it could be you know, making your sailboat go faster, and they've gotten to the point where they're true masters. And they understand, you know, they have a different understanding than other people have.
Yeah.
But the thing is if you're going to sell to people, you have to meet them where they are. So you have to find a way to make it sound, you know, like it's this simple, easy thing. And then when you sell, I mean, you got to sell them what they want. And then once they're in, then you can indoctrinate them. And I don't say that indoctrinate in any negative fashion or all, but
yeah.
But you're a change the world type of proposition here, and you're a change the world type of person. It's not easy to change the world. You gotta do it by degrees.
Right.
You have to meet them where they're at. You know, if they want, you know, if they're looking for to find the wealth corner in their home,
I mean,
you basically just told me you could do that real easily.
And, yeah.
But you've got a lot more. Well, you know, give them the damn wealth corner, and then teach them the real stuff.
Yeah.
You know? You got to get past yourself. You have to get past your bias, really. And
yeah.
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying I'm sure you got the greatest stuff in the world, but it doesn't do any good unless people are listening.
Yeah, that's right.
And so you got to meet them where they're at with what they want. You know, I mean, you look at product launch formula, okay? Product launch formula, if you look at the whole body of work, it's literally completely changes the way people relate to their markets. completely turns it on ear, okay?
Yeah.
So how did I sell it? My first video was food stamps to six figures. That was the headline, food stamps to six figures, and I talked about John Gallagher. John's actually become a buddy of mine. He's totally 100% true. It's a fantastic story, but it was presented as food stamps to six figures. It was presented as you start from nothing and you make a lot of money. That's how I get people in the program. Once I get them in the program, then I start my indoctrination, which is we're going to completely change the way you relate to your market, and by doing that, you're going to build this big following, and people are going to continually buy from you and then tell you what to create next, and they're going to love you. I mean, that's the program, but that's not what I'm selling. That's not the first thing I tell them. When people hit my first video, it isn't, I'm going to completely change the way you run your business and you relate to your clients. It's not what I give them. I give them food stamps of six figures, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to have to do the same thing. You're going to be ultra, ultra simple, get really in touch with what people want, and start off with your pre-launch content being very simple and promise. In fact, if it's that easy to give them the Wealth Corner, maybe you just give that to them as part of the pre-launch. And then you explain, this is just like, I know this might seem like magic to you, and it's like, it's pretty amazing, and people have been getting amazing results. I've been hearing back from people that they're getting amazing results, but the reality is that we're just scratching the surface. I could take you so much deeper. It's going to make your head spin. Actually, it's not going to make your head spin. It's going to make you really, really happy and bring you, untold riches, both material and emotional, if you just stick with me.
Yeah. The trickiest aspect, I guess, of that is that some people, any person has got two to three prosperity points, or there's secret locations within the building that they can stimulate. And definitely I've got lots and lots of millionaires on my books. So, I've certainly had the experience of them working. The only thing is that some people do not have the ideal conditions. So when we go to stimulate it, it's not going to happen for them as it would for another person that did have the ideal conditions. And that's like, look, I have to tell you, Jeff, honestly, getting the product launch formula, it is like heaven for me, because it's helping me to take it right down to bite-sized chunks. Like we just figured out that we can get people to Google Earth their houses and get the accurate compass reading. It's just, that part is absolutely insane. It's fantastic. Because people will do that, whereas to get out there for three mornings in a row and do their own compass reading, it's hell. So, I guess what I'm worried about is that fallout, although I am taking it into a subscription, and the way I'm putting together the videos so far is to just say, don't worry yet, because I still can get good results from those buildings sometimes too.
Right. Well, I mean, you're never going to sell to everyone. That's for sure. And if people have to get these preconditions set, I mean, that just use that as part of the pre-launch.
Right.
I mean, teach them how to do that, or split them out. Figure out some way to split it out so you're doing launches to the two different groups.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all stuff you just put into your pre-launch. I mean, or into your product. Everything you've said to me is either a part of the product, a new bonus for the product, or part of the pre-launch.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was pre-launch content myself.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll just dress it up. And that's what I'm loving about this course. I've just never had this positioning before. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And if you do, one last thing, because we've got a bunch of questions left, but if you do have a lot of people, a lot of millionaires, a lot of people that are really, doing really, really well and doing really well with your stuff, then to me that argues for a higher, a higher price, a coaching program for those people, like a smaller, more exclusive, higher end product, just for
right.
people.
Okay.
So.
Right.
I would think about doing that.
I was going to charge about $197 Australian dollars for the prosperity formulas, but do you think that's Should it be a higher cost, or should it be a lesser cost, or just wondered what you thought on that.
I don't know the market that well. You know, and it's funny because I actually do a lot of stuff. I mean, where I live, people are into all kinds of stuff, and feng shui is one of them. And so I actually know sort of a little bit about that market, but I just don't have a good feel. I would think that there's probably people. Those millionaires, they're probably willing to pay $100 a month to be in a coaching program, or $200 a month, or $300 a month, like if they can actually talk to you on the phone, during group calls and stuff like that. So I think there is a high end available for that. $197, I just don't have a good feel for the market. It doesn't sound out of line at all to me.
Yeah. I think if I start off with that and work out how it's all going to fall, I think that's probably my best bet at the moment. Jeff, in my questions, I had a question about refund, because my trickiest aspect is I'm going to be watched by Hong Kong, and I don't know if you're already going to answer this. If you are, I'll just let that question roll, but if you... I haven't got it in your questions to answer. Can I answer?
Well, go ahead and ask, and we'll skip it if it's in there.
Well, my biggest thing is around refunds. I personally don't mind giving people a refund, but I've had my books pirated. I've had my computer hacked unbelievably. I've had my house broken into. I've got a lot of... I already sell an online consultation that you can do yourself, and I've already got people buying it and then just returning it as a refund, and then sort of sending it out on eBay type thing. I know that I'm not going to be able to stop some of that anyway. People are just going to do what they're going to do. But I just wondered if you could think of anything or a way that I can protect myself a little bit more with that. I like the refund that you've got set up, where you'll help work with people for a series of days afterwards.
There's always going to be people that will steal from you, and it's actually Jeff Johnson, my buddy Jeff Johnson, put it really well. He's like, there's always going to be other people that are more invested in stealing from you than you're going to be in, than you're going to want to invest in stopping them from stealing.
Yeah.
And so you just have to live with some of it, and then you just got to try to do the easy things. Like if people are putting it on eBay, it's pretty easy to get. eBay is really on top of it, and they will shut people down. I just never knew, because Betty handles the whole thing of how we get people squashed that try to pirate PLF on eBay.
Mm.
But they have a whole system on how to do it. And if you go and look at their site, they'll tell you how to do it. It's pretty effective. So you can, go ahead and, do the easy things. And beyond that, I just try not to worry about it.
Mm.
And, if they want to spin the karma wheel and steal from you, oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So what would you suggest I use as a refund method?
In terms of like length of time or something, or?
How do you think?
I mean, the conventional wisdom is the longer the guarantee, the better you'll do. I don't know if that's the case anymore. I don't know. I try to be generous with refund periods. We've gone anywhere from 45 days out to 90 days. If you go out too far, your credit card companies will start to get a little antsy. They don't like you going beyond 90 days.
Mm.
So I definitely check with your merchant, see what they're willing to live with.
Right.
I got to get hopping. We've got lots more questions.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
You're welcome, Gail.
Okay.
Okay, next question.
Hello.
Hello, Robin.
No, this is Nancy.
Nancy.
I'm calling from Robin's phone number, huh?
Oh, okay.
Boy, I appreciate you letting me have this time with you.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm one of those Save the Worlders, and
yep.
I run a nonprofit, and our work is in providing climate solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had a conference last weekend with Mr. Gore, and our goal was to come away from that conference. There were 450 people there, to come away with a list of people who wanted to start putting some climate action plans into place in their community.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm completely coming from the opposite end of the spectrum, like nonprofit. You know, we normally give this stuff away.
Yep.
So I'm on a steep learning curve here.
Okay.
So I have a couple questions. We want to do a seed launch right away to this list of people that want climate assistance.
Okay.
And my question is, do we have to have this, like, entire plan and all the emails written out and this whole thing done before we start the first email out to them?
Nope, not at all. In fact, it's counterproductive. Really, you know, with the seed launch, how many people did you get out of the 450?
Well, there were 450 there, and we got 60, but there's another 2,600 that didn't come, that couldn't come. So there's like another email list I have access to, but we wanted to run a pilot, a four-week teleseminar series with these. I mean, people were all over us. That's the great news.
Okay, good. So, yeah, that's awesome news. Now 60 is a little thin, because usually when you get, you got 60, and then when you get around to contacting them, then, you know, not a full 60 will remember or still feel as enthusiastic, and so you'll end up with 45, and then
yeah.
You have 45, you'll end up getting 10, you know, 15 people on the first call, and by the fourth call, you'll end up with 3 people.
Oh, no.
And you know, they might be more, you know, rabid, more interested, and so you might do better numbers. Sometimes in these situations, the numbers I gave you are sort of rough from, you know, past experience, but there's a big the standard deviation on that is big. So there are times where maybe that 60 ends up being 30 people on each call.
Yeah, because something happened. One of the climate scientists pointed exactly to the piece that we're doing, and, I mean, 400 people came right into my arms, literally.
Wow.
It was amazing.
You got to work on the collection of contacts, you know, and get more than 60 out of 450.
Before I start?
No. I'm saying the next time you have one of those talks, have something like when you're speaking, say, and, you know, if you guys want to see more data on this, if you want to see the full case study, we've got, you know, or if you want my latest report on such and such, make it sexy and interesting, say, you know, then just after I get off the stage, I'm going to walk to the back of the room, just hand me your business card as you walk out the door.
Yeah.
And if you do something like that, and clear that, of course, with any conference organizer, you gotta. Yeah. Anytime you collect contact information, you have to clear that ahead of time. But if you do something like that, you'll end up with half the people in the room instead of you know, whatever, a quarter or a.
Well, 300 got our DVD.
Okay.
So I don't have them, but I have 60 cards and names. Do you want to be on our listserv?
Okay. Yeah, I'd make them give me their information before I give the DVD. But, you know, it's just, you're learning.
Oh, gosh, you don't have no idea.
Okay, so to get back to your original question, yeah, what you want to do with this is you want to, you know, before the first call, you set the agenda, what it's going to be about. You don't have to set a full agenda, but this is what it's going to be about. And then you send out an email, you tell them about it, and then you send them to a survey and say, what are your top questions about this?
Yep.
So you make sure, and then after the call,
yeah,
you send them to another survey, you know, what do you need to know more about that? What didn't I cover? And also our next call is going to be about this, and what do you need us to cover about that? And so every single call you're doing a survey to find out questions you need, you know. And they'll, so in other words, is they're teaching you how to teach. They're teaching you how to create this course. And that's really what the seed launch is all about. So you don't need to make it up all ahead of time. You make it up on the fly. And you do, it's an intimate conversation. If you got 60 cards, you're going to end up with, you know, a smaller number than that actually participating. You're going to get to know these people,
right?
And so it's more a conversation with these would be, you know, soon to be fans or friends. So you don't need to make it up ahead of time.
Okay, and so I took your advice and went to AWeber, got my account set up. And so I have all these email names. And so in the first email out to them, I need to request that they opt in to this sublist. And do
No, it's small enough where they all, yeah, you don't need to do that.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
So just don't use AWeber, you mean?
Oh, use AWeber to send the emails, because you're sending an email out to 60 people. That gets really burdensome to do it out of your email program. So still use AWeber, but you don't need to put them on a separate list.
Don't they have to opt in to get onto AWeber?
Okay, so they're not on AWeber yet at all?
No, I understand for AWeber, for me to use them at all, there has to be an opt-in process.
Yeah. So, right. So, okay, so I misunderstood. I thought you already had them on an AWeber list.
No.
Some magically.
No, I just have them on a sheet of paper in business.
Yeah, okay, just so then send them to a form, say, hey, I just, you know, we're going to do these calls. It's going to be real exciting. We're going to teach this, this, and this. I can't wait to get started. We've already gotten great feedback on our plan. But, you know, I just need one thing from you. Just go to this page and put your email address, your name and your email address in the two boxes. And that way I'm going to be able to communicate with you in a much more efficient and graceful manner.
Oh, that's lovely. That's great. One final question. I have people interested from the Amazon and from Canada and from different places.
Mm-hmm.
You said PayPal does not work outside the country?
I don't think I said that.
No? One of your documents, Module 4? No.
Huh.
Or did you say that?
I don't think I said that. Yeah,
okay.
It works. I'm not exactly sure completely where it works, but it definitely works outside the U.S. I don't know exactly. I'm embarrassed to say this, but I can't remember exactly how worldwide it is, but I think it's pretty widespread.
Okay.
So, yeah. I'll have to see.
Okay, well, maybe I dreamed it.
Yeah, and one other thing, like when you're sending that email out to those 60 people out of your email account and tell them to go to AWeber, don't do that just once. You know, send at least three reminders. Send it to them once, and then whoever doesn't join, you know, go through and manually, you know, keep track of it. They're small enough numbers. Right. And then the ones who haven't joined yet, you know, 2 days later, send them another email. And then 2 days later, the ones that haven't joined, send them another email. Don't, you know, send them at least three.
Okay.
And then even if to tell you the truth, what I would do is even if they haven't joined the AWeber list, then when the first call's coming around, I'd send it to them manually.
I didn't follow the last suggestion.
So in other words, like say like you urged all these people to join AWeber, and now it's a week later, and 40 of them have joined, but 20 of them haven't.
Yeah.
And you're getting ready for that first call.
Yeah.
Send an announcement manually from your email, just a regular email to those 20. Saying, hey, you know, our first call is coming up.
Got it.
And P.S., by the way, you didn't join this list. I really need you to do that because I'm, you know, unless you do it, I'm not going to be able to send you information on the other calls.
Okay, that's really helpful. Well, I don't want to take up, I've got 30 more questions and other people I'm sure want to talk to you. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Nancy.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next one. We're going to have to move a little quicker through these because we're not ever going to get through them all. If you guys could keep it to basically one question, and I'm going to have to be a little more hardcore about policing that. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Denise. I'm in Alabama.
Hi, Denise.
I have just a quick technical question for you about your mailing list.
Okay.
When people sign up for your sub list,
mm-hmm.
do you actually remove them from your main list? And
no.
Okay.
No. No. Now, are you using Profiler or AWeber?
Yes. And
okay.
I've got a list of 3,000 that I'm moving over.
Okay. So once, when you go to create a sublist in either Profiler or AWeber, doesn't matter, the exact same thing. You create a sublist, they join the sublist, they're still on your main list.
Okay.
Now, the thing to remember is there's this exclude function.
Uh-huh.
Like when you go and create a broadcast message, and if you scroll down, there's a little button there to include or exclude lists.
Got it.
And let's just say you've got main list, that's called main list, and sublist, that's called a sublist. So let's say, you know, you have 1,000 people, just keep the number simple, 1,000 people in the main list, and now 200 have joined your sublist. Now, say you want to go and send another email to your main list and you to get people to join your sublist, but you don't want to send it to people that are already on your sublist, right?
Right.
Then you go into your main list, you create a broadcast, you click that button that says include or exclude, and you would scroll down and you would say exclude sublist. So that what that means is that anyone that's on your main list that's also on your sublist will not get that email.
Oh, that's too easy. Thank you. That's wonderful.
Yep, it's very powerful using the includes and the excludes there. Well, the excludes are very, very powerful. I use it a ton. The other thing you can do, another powerful thing, is you can sort, you know, you can create segments of your list. You can say, this segment's going to be everyone who joined before May 1st. And then you can just have it mailed to that segment.
Gotcha. Okay, I've seen that but the exclude, I wasn't familiar.
Yeah, the excludes, I use that every single time I send a broadcast, I'm using that.
Well, I've got a series of launches that I want to send to the same list, whether or not they purchase, because they're different topics and they're tied to national magazine articles that are coming out shortly. So you've just helped me tremendously.
Excellent.
Thank you very much. Loving the class.
Good, good. Thank you, Denise.